That's a great question.
Here I am as Miss Kentucky, competed in Miss America, and it's been really an amazing journey.
So in Lexington in particular, we mostly resettle Congolese, and we have the largest population of Congolese within Kentucky.
And he said to me, science is cool, learning is fun. That's what we do.
All the schools in Kentucky present a power word presentation, which talks about verbal bullying, negative perceptions in hip-hop, how to challenge our peers when they use negative words. At the end of the day, words do matter, and it's a catalyst for action.
That's a great question. That's a powerful question. That's a question that I hope that all of us will continue to ponder on.
We'll be getting back out to playing live, but some places that I do like playing here in Lexington.
I tend to focus on local issues, local people, you know, local being Kentucky.
So we've got these various battles raging between the Attorney General and the governor, and in the background is the former governor.
This is a myth that is really common.
Mountain Dew is not a contraceptive.
Probably is going to cause a pretty bad yeast infection.
An extreme yeast infection.
If you can't deep fry it, spray paint in gold.
Now, will the animal send you like a postcard as a thank you with a little paw print on it?
Who's at fault more, men or women?
The vetting process. Did you already ask that? Okay.
It works. Grand piano.
If it's Friday and we have just one more weekend before the inevitable apocalypse, then it's Bluegrass Bios on WLXU LPFM Lexington Community Radio. If you're new to the show, we're three narcissists who try to improve Lexington by informing its citizens on current events, teaching them about beneficial programs, and entertaining them with artists, writers, and clowns. Actually, one clown. That's
one clown.
Singular. Yes. My name is Kyle Bigelow. I'll be asking the hard-hitting questions for the first hour of the show with Dr. Alex Estrada, who will tell all the jokes and get all of the glory.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
See what he does?
You mentioned apocalypse. You know, it's the first thing that comes to mind.
Indeed. Playing the potentiometers like Liberace is our spirit animal and engineer, Ben Wolf.
Hey, Kyle.
And if you call him Benjineer, he'll let you rub his tummy.
That's true.
How are we this afternoon, gentlemen?
Hunky-dory.
All right, it's good
to
see you.
How's about that for an answer?
You can waste up to 140 characters by tweeting us at Bluegrass Bios. Not really, but if you do tweet us, it will die of loneliness.
Oh, come on. Don't be so pessimistic.
Literally received one tweet, and it was from Lexington's mom. Our lovely
guests. Okay, listeners, so we have to, like, you know, we have to jack up our viewership here.
You know, I never knew if
listenership.
I don't know if anyone ever actually took the science guy up on those free tickets.
I wonder what happened with that. I don't know.
Those probably are gaining dust in some lonely corner also. Our lovely guest today will be my friend and director of Burnham Wood Appalachian Ministries, Robbie Lear.
How you doing, Kyle?
Who's actually sitting in on the intro. Then in the 1 o'clock hour, we'll pass the torch to Chuck C., when his guest will be Executive Director of the Lexington Art League, Stephanie Harris, and at 1:30, CEO of Partnering for Hope Kentucky, Chris Bryant. But first...
Wait, Chris Bryant?
Chris Bryant.
Of the Cubs?
You know, that's interesting.
Is he moonlighting?
I bet they don't talk about that at all.
They don't.
Is he 6'5"? He's hard to miss.
Yeah, he's stepping out of we were just talking about this. How I was going to take this into a different direction, but how are we? Has anyone watched the World Series?
I am watching the World Series. I lived in Chicago for a little while. Most of my family is from Illinois.
Alex is in here trolling.
I'm wearing a Cleveland T-shirt just because
he knows.
It's a 20-year-old shirt I wear on rare occasions, and my Yankees aren't in it, so I have to at least go for the American League team. I mean, last couple of years I was going for Kansas City, and they did well. So,
well, they're associated with Lexington.
Oh yeah, the legends. That's right.
World Series associated.
And I was not aware of that until I went there.
Robbie, are you a baseball fan? Have you been into this at all?
Maybe watched two innings the entire World Series.
Yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at.
We are recording this Wednesday evening, an hour or so before Game 7. So we don't know who won. You guys know who won.
That's right.
I know who won because I'm sitting right there listening to this right now.
This would be great for that. Have any of you seen a TV show called Timeless? I think it's on NBC. It's like a time travel kind of show. So that's trippy. Yeah, I mean, the fact that we're doing this tonight, it airs Friday. We'll know the winner by Friday. And
oh, absolutely. Wow. Well, we'll know later tonight.
I just had an out of body experience.
Yeah. you're not here right now, Alex.
Well, I'm really.
You're in the past. You're almost 2 days in the past.
I'm channeling Einsteinian, physics right now.
We are having a difficult time with this new time slot. I miss our real noon.
Isn't it different?
As long as we're breaking the fourth wall.
I feel absolutely. I had to have three Red Bulls just before coming to the studio, just so I could do the show at 6 o'clock.
Now that does segue a little bit into what I was going to bring up with you in the beginning of the show, Alex.
What's that?
Because you were in here last week and you were out of sorts.
I was off.
Me.
Yeah, yeah.
I
may not be much better today, but
and you we'll got see. Mad at me.
I get mad at you frequently. It's just so easy.
Now, for anybody who wasn't listening, I wish we had the sound queued up, but there were a couple of times where Alex angered me. First with his a Phoenix story.
It was anticlimactic,
which
right,
was
so
basically there was an antisocial old man.
Antisocial creep.
Yes,
he was kind of creepy.
But okay, fine. Okay, so that irritated. It was anticlimactic. Fine.
And then
move on. What else?
And then a reference to an off-air conversation that would have gone on in perpetuity if I had not stopped you.
Well, is that not one of the reasons why you have me on? Because I facilitate conversation so well and
for the audience.
Right.
Ostensibly.
We could have had fun with it.
No, that wasn't going to get by you. We would have brought it up.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Fair. All right. So then.
I'm not taking sides.
Okay. So
I'm seeing both sides.
I don't know if I should. Ben, do you think I should apologize?
I don't think.
As Ben says this with a smirk on his face, yeah. I'm not taking sides.
No. Apologies are not necessary.
All right. Well, then I will not offer one. So we're good then.
I will. Hold on. Let me collect myself. I'll survive.
I tried to make amends in any way that I could. I actually went through the effort of pulling up one of the articles, the many, many articles you email me throughout the week that I largely ignore.
Great.
It was one you sent today, and it was an article from NPR about the growing sentiment of narcissism from youth in America.
Right.
Now, why did you send that to me?
Well, because I think, come on, one of our presidential candidates is grossly narcissistic.
Not
right?
a millennial, though.
But yet he's not a millennial, right? Go figure. But I think it's certainly that trend is becoming more and more noticed amongst millennials and even non-millennials just in today's day and age. And I mean, the whole concept, I mean, come on, we're here, whoever follows me on Snapchat, knows that, I take about 42 selfies a day or, whatever.
But we're all guilty, right? We're all here because we like the sounds of our own voices. There's a little bit of a bonus involved.
I feel like I'm being a positive contribution to the community, Kyle. So
that's why Robbie's here. Robbie, what do you feel about that sentiment that America is becoming more and more me?
I think that's pretty pretty evident in every facet of what we do for the most part. I mean, just anywhere you look, it's a pretty self-serving, whether that be in the social media, look at me, or
Kroger.
Or Kroger. I totally agree with that sentiment, though.
Robbie mentioned social media. It's like, when it's Facebook and social media first came out and started gaining popularity, people would post stuff or comment on stories or, whatever. But now there's a growing trend of people posting things and then going back to check how many likes, who liked it, who shared my stuff, who, whatever. And I don't know if that's a factor of that's being tracked now, whereas before it wasn't as much, and now you could see that. But, I mean, it's very rampant on many levels.
Well, I've noticed, just speaking personally with social media, if I keep it my own little corner of the world, and I keep, everybody, all of my Facebook friends are people I've actually met in real life, save like three or four of them. And if I leave it at that, people whose baby pictures I do want to see, because those are my little nieces and nephews and stuff like that, and they live half a world away, so that's the only way I'm ever going to see them. It works great. If my family's the only people who follow me on Twitter, it's great. But when you get into how many friends can I accumulate on Facebook, or how many followers can I get on Twitter, how do you keep up with all that stuff? You could spend every waking moment looking at your likes, your tweets, your dislikes, all that, and comments, because they don't have a dislike button, which is coming. You know that's coming.
Well, it's somewhat new to humanity, the idea of fame on this level for anyone who's not a movie star or a politician. You know, like, you can be Tila Tequila and be the most famous Twitter follow of all time for, you know, not doing anything. And maybe we can say, you know, we could say that really when most people were aware of this was with Kim Kardashian and her homemade video. But, you know, it was like, why is this person famous? She's not a creator of anything. She's, she's not.
She was just born into a family.
Yeah, her parents are famous. Well, her father was famous.
And for the O.J. Simpson trial, right?
Yeah.
Stepfather. So her stepfather is the famous one. Her stepfather is Caitlyn, right?
That is way down the line. We're talking about Robert Kardashian, who was
he's a dead lawyer, right? Or he's dead, isn't he?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't care. I know that.
Which one was Travolta in the show?
Travolta.
That would have been That's right. That's Robert Kardashian. Anyway, this is the entire point, right? She's not royalty. She's not creating anything. But this is relatively new in the span of, you know, I can wrap my head around wanting money, right? Avarice for power, even, you know, and status. But just fame is the most vapid. It's because it's so easy come and easy go, right? But that's when you're young, and this is probably why, you know, whatever it is, tweens to 18-year-olds are so susceptible to this is they never really had to, especially in America, work really hard to get and hold on to something that this is just sort of natural life to them. I don't know. Does that make sense?
It does. I think there are a lot of these people have kind of always been around. I've always baffled me about why Zsa Zsa Gabor was famous. I never knew why she was famous. I never knew why George Hamilton was famous.
Well, I mean, they were just kind with of Zsa Zsa, I mean, like in that era, you have someone that's could be considered, you know, very attractive. She has an accent. She's foreign. It has that appeal. You know,
sure, but her sister was the famous one.
Yeah, I don't know how that worked out. I have no idea how that worked out. Maybe Zsa Zsa was more charismatic and people liked her more.
That's possible. She did hit that cop. That was fun.
No, I don't know the story.
Yeah, she slapped the police officer, tried to give her a ticket.
Oh, I remember that. She slapped him. Right, right.
Very.
I remember that now.
And the whole country had a nice laugh at that.
And that was before social media.
And speaking of narcissism in politics, well, that's nothing.
They go hand in hand, right?
Yeah, well, it's megalomania, really. Right. But
it's a problem when the American Psychological Association, you know, comes out with a diagnosis of like selfie-itis or something like that. and I was kidding people when I said I take I don't know how many selfies a day. I was joking. But still, there's a criteria for that diagnosis. To have X amount of selfies in a day, you know, on whatever social media platform. I mean, it's concerning, you know, because where's this, you know, country going, you know, or when there's like some event, right, and somebody catches it on cell phone video, like a car wreck, a fight, a fire, whatever. There's more people filming than actually helping. And why are they filming? Because they don't want to save it for them. They want to save it so they can post it on some website so they could get, you know, X amount of hits, you know, so it's still, you know, narcissistic.
That's, I remember seeing some picture in the newspaper of, I think it was maybe Hillary Clinton was walking out into a crowd and every single person had their backs to Hillary Clinton trying to take a selfie with her, you know, over their shoulder.
But the funny thing is that was actually staged.
Oh, really?
Yes, because she, like, that's what it appeared, and that's how the media spun it.
Oh, I gotcha.
But I read the backstory behind that, and she's the one that said, hey, why don't everybody take a selfie with me? But that is still, it still reinforces the point that it's all narcissistic behavior.
Yeah.
You know, so she kind of egged on the crowd, but yeah, it's a great picture.
That sounds like something I'd do. I had that
kind of... Robbie, I have to apologize. We usually don't talk about Zsa Zsa Gabor until much later in the show.
I really appreciate it.
So we pulled the trigger on that one early.
Yeah, blame the old guys, right, Kyle? Nice.
I just love
I mean, George Hamilton, was he was famous for what, his tan? Was that right?
Yeah, pretty much. Right. Pretty much yeah, walking skin cancer.
Yeah.
Wasn't he in Battlestar Galactica or something? Or
he was in like a Dracula movie?
I don't know.
And he was just kind of around Las Vegas.
I have to look him up.
And then, yes, he had a very deep tan.
All right, we're gonna
and then that's what he was known most for.
We're going to find out more about George Hamilton. We'll be right back on Bluegrass Bios. This is Lexington Community.
And I'm going to take a selfie.
Smithtown Seafood, one of Lexington's newest farm-to-table restaurants, is located at the corner of Jefferson and West 6th Street. Smithtown Seafood's menu is both familiar and creative, emphasizing local foods and old-fashioned Kentucky recipes in dishes such as beer cheese with West 6th Quarter, wild-caught fried catfish, flavor-packed burgers, vegetarian and vegan specialties, salads, and ethnic seafood dishes such as fish tacos and tilapia Singapore, and much more. Smithtown makes everything on the menu from scratch and whenever possible with local Kentucky-raised ingredients. Smithtown Seafood is in the Weta Michaels family of restaurants, which includes Holly Hill Inn and the Midway School Bakery in Midway, Wallace Station in Versailles, and Windy Corner here in Lexington. For more information, you can call Smithtown Seafood at 859-303-4100, or you can check them out online at smithtownseafood.com. Lexington Community Radio thanks Smithtown Seafood for supporting Community Radio.
Experience the advantages of bike riding. Help cut down on urban noise and pollution, never pay a dime for gas, and never worry about finding a parking spot at the next big game or concert. This message is brought to you in partnership between Lexington Community Radio and the Bluegrass Cycling Club.
This is Lydia Jacobs, host of Aging Adventures. We keep everyone up to date on what's going on in the senior community in Lexington, conferences available, how to stay healthy. We talk to a wide range of people, professionals, individuals who are paving their own way in the aging world. Aging Adventures with host Lydia Jacobs on Fridays, 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock on 93.9 WLXU, a Lexington community radio. But in passing, we'll grow older
every day. Welcome back to Bluegrass Bios. Our first guest is already in studio with us, Robbie Lear. He's the director and a founder of Burnham Wood Appalachian Ministries. Bam! Supporting groups all around Kentucky at the Burnham Wood Camp in Estill County. How are you doing today, man?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Not bad. We appreciate you coming all the way in here from Irvine.
Irvin.
What's
oh, we're going to get into that again?
Yeah. Oh, you know what?
Pronunciation Zing, of Kentucky.
Yeah, let's bring that back.
That turnabout is fair play, isn't it, Alex?
Right. Talk about irritants.
So you founded Burnham Wood, Appalachian Ministries about 6 years ago. Then you kind of got the ball rolling, then stepped away and did some more private industry type things. But now you're back. You're the director. Tell our audience, please, what BAM is and what you do for Kentucky.
Absolutely. First, I'm not the founder, just
a founder.
One of the first people.
I don't see anybody else here.
That's true. Fair enough. But no, yeah, Burnham Wood Appalachian Ministries, you know, we're located in Irvine, Kentucky, and our mission is to, you know, serve as many people in need in Appalachian area, Eastern Kentucky, as humanly possible through, you know, helping improve housing, you know, working with at-risk youth, special needs kids, just anywhere we see a need to help out, you know, people that can't necessarily help out themselves.
Yeah,
we fill in the gaps.
Okay, so how are you associated with Burnham Wood Camp?
Burnham Wood Camp, that is a Presbyterian church camp that's been there since the mid to late 50s that serves the youth of the presbytery. And I grew up going there. All my family grew up going there. Lots of friends did. And, you know, it was one of those where about 6 years ago, I got a call from one of my good friends who had this idea. You know, we're in the middle of this area that needs all this help. Why can't we use these great facilities at Camp Burnham Wood to, you know, house all these groups that want to come in, and, you know, we can use that as a jumping off point to go out and help these different communities.
Now, who are these groups?
They're, you know, different groups of mostly middle school, high school age kids that come in from all over the country. But, you know, they're mostly, you know, Presbyterian based, but it's not just those. Yeah, anybody can come in and do it. And, you know, as I was talking to you earlier, you know, we've had groups from Texas, you know, Oklahoma, Kansas, Illinois, up in the Northeast. And we even had a group from Jamaica come in a few years ago, which was great. About 50
Jamaica.
50 Jamaicans came and made the trip to, you know, little old Irvin to help out a bunch of people that, you know, they'd never met or, you know, they definitely not heard of probably Irvin until they found it on a website.
What kind of culture shock was that?
You know, it was, but, you know, they had been dealing with, you know, so much poverty, you know, where they were from. I believe they were from Kingstown.
Yeah, that's maybe a big one.
Yeah, they were dealing with, you know, so much poverty there that, you know, it didn't surprise them. So, you know, it was great. It was really neat. You know, it was a bit of a culture shock. You know, everybody enjoyed hearing their language or their
that accent.
And they loved hearing the Eastern Kentucky accent, so...
I'm just imagining fun. A bunch of Kentuckians just saying, "Cool runnings, man."
Exactly. Yeah, I'm sure there are several Cool Runnings references that went on.
So when these groups come in and they're all from the country, even the world, what they get to this camp and then mm-hmm. what do they do?
Lots of things. One of the main things we do is, you know, we go out and we try to do as many, you know, construction type projects as possible, fixing up people's houses. One kind of thing that we've really started focusing on is, you know, weatherizing people's houses, because a lot of these people don't have electricity, wherein, you know, don't have heat except for, you know, maybe a fireplace, anything like that. So, you know, coming in and, you know, putting new siding or putting a new roof on their house so that, you know, half their house, the wood isn't rotting away. Things like that, you know, wheelchair ramps, anything, like I said earlier, anything we can do. And yeah, you know, they'll come to camp, spend time for a week, but you know, they won't just be doing that. You know, we try to educate everybody that comes to us, whether, you know, that be just going around showing them the different counties of Eastern Kentucky or you know, take them to the Red River Gorge, one of our favorites. But, you know, we also will do different programs, let them spend an afternoon with a coal mining company, talking about the benefits of, you know, coal mining for the state, or spending a day with, you know, an anti-coal group, telling them about, you know, the different ways that, you know, coal is maybe hurting different areas. So just, you know, giving them as much information about Eastern Kentucky as possible.
So this area that they're building up and supporting, they can actually sort of understand a little bit about the culture there?
Exactly. Yeah, just teaching them as much as possible. You know, so, you know, it puts a little bit of a backstory behind this group that of people that they're coming in to help out. You know, it's not just blindly going, you know, fix up a house or do something, not really meet the people or understand the community they're coming from, understanding why, you know, they are in the position that they're in. So it's really good.
So let me get this straight. So you have a physical camp, mm-hmm. but the kids come on board, come to the camp, but you don't stay on the camp. You do activities off-site.
Exactly. Okay. All around, and, you know, mostly we'll go to, you know, Madison County.
And you have, like, what, like big school buses or something, and you just pile them in? Or
how? A lot of these groups will bring their own okay. little shuttle buses.
Got it.
To take them around, or just a bunch of minivans that they'll bring.
Right.
And then we'll go out to, you know, Lee County, Madison County, you know, go to Winchester, Lee, Owsley, just, you know, anywhere we can find that's, you know, not 2 to 3 hours away in Appalachia. Sure. But
yeah, now I've been involved in a couple of faith-based camping organizations. Mm-hmm. One of them being here in Kentucky, and the way they did it was they would have you could have either tents or cabins, you know. Mm-hmm. Either way. And another one that I know of, they actually had like a physical dorm. They had like a boys' dorm and a girls' dorm, but still the same setting. It's a camp-like setting. But what they would do is they would have like, you know, they would have a breakfast for everybody, and mm-hmm. then they would have like some sort of a morning service, or you know, a sermon, or some sort of religious, nothing big, nothing formal, mm-hmm. you know. And then they would go off do the activities. Do you all do something similar?
Mostly all of that we do in the evening, and we'll do some sort of service in the evening and kind of reflect on, you know, what we did that day, what we learned that day, what we saw.
So same concept.
Yeah, just same.
You all do it at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think the one camp I went to, they do a morning, like, hey, this is what we're going to do today, and then they'll have some scripture or whatever. And then at the end of the day, after dinner or before dinner, they will do, we'll do like a little debrief and like mm-hmm. some activities and stuff for the
Yeah, campers. We do a really similar cool. setup to that.
Great. Hey, interesting.
As this is all year round, you're able to do this, correct?
We can, you know. Mostly, it's during the summer. You know, that's, you know, summer vacation. That's when we can get most of the kids. But you know, it actually is, you know, year round. We'll get people on fall break and winter break and spring break to get groups together and come in and do it then as well. You know, a lot of times it'll be shorter weeks. You know, it'll be 3 or 4 days, whereas, you know, during the summer it'll be a full week of work. So we'll scale down the projects a little bit, but exact same idea.
Now, we were talking about in the first segment the idea of narcissism in American youth in the modern day, but you're talking about, you know, hundreds and hundreds of kids that come through your organization mm-hmm. that are doing something completely selfless, right?
So, exactly.
What is your impression of the student groups that roll through?
They're really good. Now, I'd be lying if I didn't say that, you know, all those kids are asking, or not all of them, a large majority are asking me about, you know, Wi-Fi and where they can use their phones,
right.
Which we try to keep them away from that. But, you know, for the most part, even, you know, beyond that, though, they're just great kids that are coming in and giving a week of their summer vacation and doing completely selfless things that are a lot bigger than themselves and helping out people that they have never met or probably even heard about in their entire lives, which, you know, that gives me a lot of hope that, you know, in all the narcissism that we're dealing with in our society today, that there are still youth out there that are going to be, you know, become adults and then mold other youth. So it gives me a little bit of hope still.
Right. And well, and you mentioned you came from out of this camp. You grew up, right?
Exactly.
In this environment. And here you are years later paying it forward and continuing that tradition and continuing to give back to the community. So, I mean, you know, the whole process does replicate itself,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you do pay it forward.
We're talking to the director and a founder for, just to be accurate, Robbie Lear. If you want more information about Burnham Wood Appalachian Ministries, you can go to burnhamwood.net or check them out on Facebook. So you were telling us that the area that the camp is in has a motto.
Yeah, it's Estill County, greatest motto, I believe, in all of Kentucky. It's considered where the bluegrass kisses the mountains, which is quite accurate. It's just in that area right there in the, you know, it's a kind of Red River Gorge area. So it is right where the bluegrass just comes up and meets, you know, the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains, and it doesn't get much prettier in Kentucky, to be honest.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It has to be some stunning landscape there.
It is, and that's, I mean, since you're right on the edge, you'll get onto these, you know, big mountaintops and look, and it's just flat. I mean, you can see for all the way to Lexington, actually.
No kidding.
Yeah, and easily see Richmond. So it's neat. It's a beautiful area, especially right now. I went up there the other day, and all the trees are changing colors. It was a beautiful sight.
Do I have to really say roadshow on every episode? I think every last handful of episodes, I've suggested a roadshow.
You do now.
To do this.
I'm making a note. Ben,
yeah.
Put it where we put the rest of our notes.
Note.
Oh, that little pal right there. The never-ending black hole.
I think most people that are within the sound of our voice now, except for our large fan base in Jamaica, will except for the small group from Kingston, have been.
Don't forget about the Africa, the people with the nets that they're listening to.
That's true.
The mosquito Uganda. Nets. That's Uganda. Right.
Uganda. Right. Eastern Ugandans, yeah. To be accurate, sure. Dr. Yeah. Dr. Alex. But maybe you could. I was hoping you could paint us a picture of the grounds of Burnham Wood itself. Is there a lake? What are the cabins like?
Yeah.
What are some of the facilities like there?
It's a beautiful camp. We have, I believe, 8 cabins that are. I mean, you drive in and you got a swimming pool and basketball courts up on the left, and then up in the woods you have the BAM house. Which is, can house about 25, 30 people in and of itself. And it's just, it's just a full lodge house. And then you go a little further and you have all the grounds. You have 8 or 9 cabins scattered up through the woods. A couple lodges here and there. You got 3 beautiful lakes just back to back to back that are separated by a little tiered dam system. We got beavers out there, ducks, deer, more than you can count. It's a fantastic area. It really is.
And you have counselors out there during the summer.
During the summer. The kids, uh-huh. Right? Yeah, for the, we have camps for 1st through 12th graders throughout the summer that are each a week long. And those are a lot of fun. They get to do all kinds of, and the same type of stuff that the band people get to experience as well. Just, they don't go out into the community. They just stay on the grounds and do a multitude of different events and things.
I grew up in St. Louis. I'm not familiar with this summer camp. So when I think summer camp, I think Camp Crystal Lake. For anyone that gets that reference, stay out of the lake. Or at least stay out of the cabin with your fellow camp counselor. I'm getting too deep into this
reference. I think of band camp.
Band camp? Okay, right, exactly. So I don't know what is all the things that you do. You tell ghost stories. You go canoeing.
Oh yeah, go canoeing. Go on all kinds of different hikes. We've got a bunch of trails. It's sitting on almost 500 acres. So I mean, there's lots of trails and different things to do. Yeah, canoeing. We play a lot of games. We play some Capture the Flag. It's one of my all-time favorites.
Love it.
Obviously, yeah. We'll do some worship service, campfires. Any of the stereotypical camp summer camp type activities, except for archery, which I'm trying to bring to us. I think that could.
Especially you've seen there's wildlife on there. I mean,
yeah. I don't know if we could get away with taking down any animals with that, but you never know. We try it out.
All you have to prove that it was self-defense. Yeah, was attacking you.
He's coming right at me.
That deer, he came right at me, I swear. I was going to die. I saw my life flash from my eyes.
Outside of BAM, you do other youth ministry, correct?
Yeah. I'm the youth minister at Maxwell Street Presbyterian Church right down the street.
Yeah.
Which I actually was working over there right before I came here. Which is fun, they have about 20 youth or so that I work with. I always obviously push them going to Burnham Wood as much as possible. But yeah, it's fun. We do different mission projects around Lexington mostly. But we also just get together on Sunday evenings and hang out, just some good old fellowship.
Yeah, man, it's a great mixed gender.
Like. Yeah. From 6th grade up through 12th grade. This Sunday, I'm taking all of them on a hike to my farm, which is on the Jesmond Creek Gorge. So, yeah, we do some fun stuff. I like it.
Okay. Do you feel like this kind of work has maybe caused you to grow up a little bit? I mean, you're now, like, in a leadership.
Yeah. No, it definitely has. I mean, you've actually seen me in several of my jobs, and you've actually seen me through my progression, I believe, over the last few years.
I could say that. I've known you for a couple of years.
Yeah. No, now... working with youth, it's always been the nonprofit world, and working with youth has always been kind of my passion. I haven't always been able to find jobs that I really liked in that area, but yeah, the past, I was lucky, I feel blessed to have this job that I got this past May. But yeah, I kind of feel like, not to use the term my calling, but it's definitely what I thoroughly enjoy and feel like I fit there the best in life.
Shout out to the succubus.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
We're talking to Robbie Lear. He's a director of Burnham Wood Appalachian Ministries in Irvine in Estill County. For more information about getting a church group or any other kind of group, not solely church groups, right?
Yeah, anybody can come do work with us.
Get in touch with him at burnhamwood.net. Now, you are, as you were explaining to us in the wings, pretty much a one-man band for this nonprofit, right?
Yeah. I have some fantastic help from the folks over at the Transylvania Presbytery. They help me out, especially when it comes to bookkeeping. It's not exactly one of my fortes, so they're really helpful. You know, we have some good volunteers that come in, but you know, as far as you know, on staff all the time for Burnham Wood and Burnham Wood Appalachian Ministries, it's me, which you know can be a lot, but it's one of those where you know, as much as I like it and the potential that I see in it, you know, I don't mind at all. It's great.
I mean, the type of hours that you would do, you would by necessity be dedicated to this kind of work.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, 10, 12 hours a day, 7 days a week work, but you know, it's worth it. It definitely is. You know, I'd rather be doing the hours in this than something I didn't like and working half as much.
Now, can I tee you up on maybe a story you could tell us that keeps you so amped about your job?
Yeah, I will. Yeah, I'll tell you one. It's one of my favorites from my first year doing Burnham Wood Appalachian Ministries, and this is when I was the summer director of it, and so I was the one, you know, in charge of getting all the supplies, going out and meeting all the folks, and you know, facilitating all these groups, very hands on. We went to past Lee County, past Beattyville, to I believe the area was called Bear Holler.
Bear Holler.
Which, you know, if I honestly don't exactly know the exact definition of a holler, but basically it's just an area deep in the mountains that not many people make it to.
Okay.
And you really don't want to go back in there unless you're very familiar with the people in the area.
If I may, it usually was a place where there was water and the water has dried up, so it gives it that kind of down at the bottom of a hill in a creek that's now gone kind of feel to it.
Okay.
And now you have a science lesson today as well. Yeah. Perfect.
I think it's because you have to holler at your neighbor to get them to hear you. Does that make sense?
Maybe.
Yeah, that's where holler. That's probably where the name came from.
That's a really bad joke.
But that actually might be where it came from.
I think you're actually right.
Yeah. And if I hear dueling banjos, I'm running.
Yeah. Run as fast as your feet will carry you.
All right. So tell us about Bear Holler.
Yeah. So Bear Holler. So I go up there with a group, and you know the man. It's a husband and wife that live up there. They're an elderly couple. We're going up there to you know, put new siding on their house, fix up their house a little bit. I'm pretty sure they don't even have electricity there. And we go up, and you know, the first day we're there, the husband comes out and says, "You know, y'all got to watch out for the waspers."
Is that a motorcycle gang?
Yeah, you might think so. I was like, "Excuse me." The wife's like, "You know, the waspers. You know, they'll come down from the roof and get you." I was like, "Oh yeah, the wasps." He's like, "Yeah, the waspers." I was like, all right, so, you know.
Okay, terrific.
So great. So, you know, I'm, you know, doing some work, and, you know, lo and behold, I'm not wearing a hat or anything. One comes down and gets me right on the head. And I'm probably, you know, fighting back, cussing up a storm with all these.
Waspers.
But yeah, so, you know, of course, I go back that afternoon and get myself like 10 cans of wasp spray and take out all of them. You know, none of my campers are going to get stung. But no, the great thing about it was, so we do all this work throughout the week. We build a great relationship with the husband and wife. And on the last day we're there, we're wrapping up. You know, we go knock on the door and we're talking to this lady, and you know, she's almost in tears. You know, so thankful. She's like, "I don't know what to do to thank you all, though. Like, you all have just been a godsend." She's like, "Wait right here." I was like, "Okay." And she comes out with this handful of little figurines. I was like, "Well, this is interesting." And she has, for every single person in the group, a hand-carved wooden figurine of like a little squirrel or a rabbit and stuff that she's also, I mean, she's carved all these by hand, painted them, lacquered them. So, I mean, it's this legit little, you know, 2-inch figurine and gives every single one in the group one. It,
that's all, awesome.
It is. And every, on the bottom in like little paint, it says, you know, Elise 1992 wow. on them. And, you know, just, and that, I mean, that, that little figurine will, you know, be with me forever. It's one of my most prized possessions because, you know, she didn't have anything to give, but what she did have was, you know, all these little figurines that she and her husband had carved by hand and painted and stuff that it was in a little glass case in her house. You know, those are some of her prized possessions that, you know, but this is what, you know, she felt so strongly about, you know,
yeah,
what
I mean,
we
that,
had
that
done.
That was made with love and
exactly.
gave it to you guys. You
and
know,
gave it to love. Us with love. Yeah. So, you know, it's That's stuff great. Like, but stuff like that, you know, that's not an isolated incident of, you know, like this, you know, gratitude and, you know, this love, this exchange between, you know, these people we're helping in the group. So, you know, it's stuff like that that, you know, makes me, I mean, I'm sold. I'm full into this. As long as they keep me around, I'm going to be doing this and doing it as well as humanly possible, you know?
Yeah. Robbie Lear, executive director. Do I throw an executive in there? You've been
yeah,
doing a great
yeah, yeah.
job. I'm putting an executive on the top of it. Executive director
that.
And, and only founder who showed up of Burning Burnham Wood Appalachian Ministries. All right, give us one more tale of your adventures as the minister of this organization.
Oh, let's see. I think I gave you a list earlier.
You did.
What,
you want me to prompt you?
Yeah, prompt me. Give me. What are my options right now?
Kind of. Okay, so.
Speaking of.
I got
oh,
an Everett
no,
Marshall.
Yeah,
you got an
that's
Everett
a
Marshall story.
Yeah, that's a. Everett Marshall was this isn't, you know, so much of a story as it just kind of it's a story of kind of old school small town stuff that went on. I was riding around one day. I'd met the former mayor of Beattyville, which is in Lee County, and he was taking me around to some different sites and introducing me to some people that he thought could use our help. And at the end of driving around, he takes me to this place called Sue's Pantry, which is way out on the outskirts of town, and it's a little country market, which, you know, if there are any younger listeners out there, they probably won't know too well what a good old country market is.
They will love that Zsa Zsa Gabor reference.
Yeah. Exactly.
So is that like a general store kind of?
Yeah, it's kind of like a general right. store. I mean, this one, you know, you still had credit. It was one of those where, you know, so,
right,
yeah. you know, put it on my bill and they'd bill you at the end of the month. Just, you know, they take you at your word that you were going to pay at the end of the month. But, you know, they had all these handmade. So we go there for lunch afterwards. And I met this guy, Everett Marshall, who runs the place and cooks everything from scratch. You know, we had a meatloaf and mashed potato lunch. And he got to talking to him. Real great guy. He's like, Robbie, I tell you what. You're going to need to come back on Tuesday morning. It's like, okay, what's happened on Tuesday morning? I said, we solved the world's problems. Said,
that's an appointment.
I was like, well, I don't know what I have on Tuesday morning, but obviously I'm going to be there. I need to see what's going on.
Well, I drink and I know things, so I'll
yeah.
be there too.
Yeah, so I show up on Tuesday morning, and I come to find that it's biscuits and sausage gravy morning.
Nice.
Which, you know, he cooks from scratch, everything. And, you know, there's table.
Only on Tuesdays.
Only on Tuesdays. Oh, it's Tuesdays and Thursdays, actually. But
okay.
Tuesday is the big day when
they. Well, that's when they solve
that's
the world's
when they
problems.
Solve the world's problems.
Okay. Yeah.
So I show up and I see all these old timers sitting, I mean, around a table that's probably a 2-foot by 2-foot table, but they still manage to get about 10 guys around it. Old guys, you know, big old belly, like granddad bellies on them.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're all around just talking and stuff. And Everett brings me over and said, Robbie, I want you to meet the city council, the local judge, the former mayor. And this is basically all the most important officials sitting around. And, you know, on top of the refrigerator by them is a police scanner. They're listening to the police scanner and hearing everything that's going on and deciding how to better the world
wow.
with what's happened on the police scanner. And, you know,
they're eating their biscuits.
As in that's it, they let me sit that's down awesome. With them and, you know, they'll talk about politics every once in a while and this, that, and the other. But they literally were figuring out how that they were going to make the world a better place and what the best route to take was to get there. And, you know, let me chime in. And, I mean, it was one of those, since I was helping the community, they're like, well, you know, come on in. You can help us out with this. And it was, I tried not to miss a Tuesday after that. You know, of course I had to, but yeah, every Tuesday I was able to, I would make myself get in the car and go down to Sue's Pantry, get there at 8 a.m. and talk about the world's problems and eat biscuits and gravy.
And have you checked your cholesterol since?
I got my physical coming up next week. We'll see how that is there. Hopefully, good news. Keep your fingers crossed.
I'm sure
crossed.
It's all worth it.
Yeah, definitely worth it.
That has to be pretty amazing to be able to take in the collective wisdom of Lee County.
It really was. It was neat. And yeah, I mean, it's something I definitely care. Like most of the things, I did back then. I'm doing now. You know, I'll at least hopefully keep it with me forever.
Yeah, just like your squirrel figurine.
Exactly.
Right. We've been talking to Robbie Lear. He's the director and founder of Burnham Wood Appalachian Ministries in Irvine in Estill County. They're located at the Burnham Wood Camp. If you're interested in putting a group together to go better Central and Eastern Kentucky, they're trying to expand eastward, is that correct?
That's right.
Then you can get a hold of him at burnhamwood.net or check them out on Facebook. Thank you very much for coming in here, my friend.
I really appreciate you having me, bud. This has been fun.
All right, we're going to be right back to close up the first hour of Bluegrass Bios in just a minute. This is Lexington Community Radio.
Lexington Community Radio's programming is powered by West 6 Brewery, serving Kentucky-crafted micro-brewed beer in a historic 100-plus-year-old former bakery called the Bread Box, located at 501 West 6th Street in Lexington. West 6 has over 15 different original beers on tap, including the West 6 IPA, West 6 Amber, Lemongrass Wheat, and Pay It Forward Cocoa Porter. West 6 canned beers can be purchased all over the Commonwealth and in the tap room. Flavors change daily and feature weekly firkin and barrel-aged short-run beers. For the kids, local kombucha and soda is always on tap, too. You can also visit West 6's new downtown tap room, the West 6 Green Room, located at 109 West Main Street. For more information, visit www.west6.com. Think local, drink local. Lexington Community Radio thanks West 6 for supporting true community radio.
STEAM Academy is Lexington's most innovative high school and home to Lexington Community Radio. Students at STEAM go on multiple internships, do hands-on learning through projects, learn with computers, and express their creativity. Eighth graders from all over the city can apply, and there are no entry requirements. For more information, visit our website at steam.fcps.net or call 859-381-3033.
My name's Wills Quinn, host of NoFi, your dad's favorite rock and roll show. Every Monday from 9 to 10 p.m. on 93.9 WLXU Lexington Community Radio.
I woke up in the morning feeling fresh to death. I'm so blessed.
Hi, this is Lisa Higgins-Horde from the University of Kentucky and LCR Community Radio board member, and you're listening to WLXU 93.9 LPFM Lexington Community Radio.
I'm so blessed. Yes, yes, yes.
This portion of WLXL's programming is brought to you by an in-kind donation by Homegrown Press. Homegrown Press Studio and Gallery sells the artwork of John Lackey, including block print posters, originals on canvas, t-shirts, and other items. Homegrown Press is located at 569 North Limestone Street and can be reached at 859-489-3901. For more information, please visit www.homegrownpress.com.
All right, welcome back to the final hour, end of the first hour, I should say.
Beginning of the final hour.
Can we start over?
All right.
Do you really want to start over?
And he gives me crap.
I do really want to start over. I am kind of
afraid. All right, hold on.
Welcome back to Bluegrass Bios on Lexington Community Radio. this is take two.
Take two of the outro.
This is what I like. We already told you this is recording.
I feel like it's my first time on air.
Yeah, it does, right? It feels a little bit weird, but we'll get used to it.
You haven't sat next to me in a long time, so I'm getting butterflies.
That was a great interview. I really liked talking to Robbie.
Yeah, that was lots of fun.
I've known him for a couple of years, and not to blow up his spot, he was not the mature man that was just on with us a moment ago back when I met him. Not that he was, you know, lampshade on his head, but to see how doing this kind of volunteer work, and this is day in, day out, this is not, you know, Alex and I's 1 hour a week. It's that he relentlessly tries to burden me with.
I have to. I mean, if I don't, who does?
It ends up at the end of the day, I think you feel pretty good for coming in here and putting in some time to talk to somebody like that.
Absolutely.
So that's I think that's saccharine enough. How do you feel about today's show, Ben?
I'm feeling pretty good about it.
How are you feeling about the next hour that you're doing?
I feel outstanding about it. Who's on our next hour?
Will you hold me that piece of paper?
Which piece of paper?
I'll take that piece of paper right there. Next hour, we'll be featuring Chuck C. The Benjineer will be sticking around, and they will be talking to Executive Director of the Lexington Art League, Stephanie Harris, and at 1:30, the CEO and perhaps a professional baseball player, CEO of Partnering for Hope Kentucky, Chris Bryant. I think that'll do it for us on this broadcast Friday, Dr. Alex.
Yep. See you all later.
Speaking of narcissism, I've had a very good time this evening.
All right. Wonderful. Wunderbar.
As did I. I mean, I took a couple of selfies.
If you want to park for the home game this coming weekend, you can do so at Deborah Hensley's lot on Nicholasville. So you can come see Rosa, who does all the great work here, and they have great rate on parking. It's right across from the stadium. For Dr. Alex and I, and stay tuned for Ben and Chuck C., this has been the First Hour Bluegrass Bios. See you next week, Lexington.